how you do the rest of your evening and tomorrow and this holiday time season. Turn to the scriptures that Bracken read from Luke chapter 1. Since the first of Advent, the times that I've referenced or preached or taught from anything to do with the Nativity has always been from this scripture. As I mentioned earlier today at noon, I've taught from this hundreds of times over the years, and so many of you have heard different things from here. But it's been fun for the Lord to teach me, show me new things. He does every year. And I think what we'll do next year is, we didn't really have an Advent discipline this year. Next year, we'll just do a little devotional, or maybe put a little booklet together, all from just that passage of Scripture that was read, so we can kind of follow and follow an Advent calendar. When I think of these Scriptures, and I think about Mary, who's a person just like us, and I think about the challenge that she faced. Again, she was a teenager. I'm not sure if she was 14 or 17, but it's somewhere in that realm that most people believe. And she was committed to an arranged marriage. That's what they did that day, to Joseph. Many people have seen Joseph as an older man, because we don't see him later in the life of Christ. But I don't believe that has any historicity to it at all. I think Joseph was probably within 2 or 3 years of her age, maybe a little older. And for whatever reason, he died, it seems, at a fairly young age, and he wasn't around. So Jesus knew it was at least some point in his life to live in the household with a single mom, a single parent. But as I said earlier this week, twice this week, one of the things I'm convinced of in terms of the birth of Christ, when you ponder the Christmas crash, the nativity scene, everything in there could have been skipped. God the Father was big enough to accomplish His redemptive purposes in terms of the cross by skipping all that. Jesus could have just shown up at 32 and a half or 33 in a couple of weeks, died on the cross, and our sins could have been paid for. But everything that Jesus did, all the 33 years, every step of the way, was to identify Himself with fallen humanity so that fallen humanity could identify themselves with Him, and in every step of their life, or whatever sequence of events, or whatever kind of pain they experienced, they could swallow that up in Christ and experience healing. Anybody who ever went through a traumatic birth, or was homeless, or ever been poor, or ever experienced rejection, or ever had people talk bad about you, on and on and on and on, or a refugee, Christ experienced all that. And He did it all for us. So that once you become a believer and you're in Christ, His history is your history. And you can find redemption in every kind of pain that what Jesus walked through represented in our humanity. But when I look at the passage of Scripture, and when Gabriel announced to Mary that she's favored, you know, I've laughed about this before, all of us want to experience God's purposes at the highest level. But let me tell you something. If the Lord comes to you in some way, prophetically, and says you're highly favored, you better strap it up. Because it usually means a lot of stuff, trauma is going to come with it too, as God rearranges lives and purposes and things. It's just the way it is. Because God works out His purposes among fallen people who don't always want to cooperate all the time with the purposes of God. So it usually involves some difficulty and rearrangement that's not always easy. But He says that to her, and then He begins to speak to her what the plan was, that this young virgin girl was going to get pregnant and give birth to the Son of God. And when she asked the question, how, He let her know it's going to be by the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And again, I know you've heard others say this, you've thought it, we've laughed about this, is that that's not exactly a story that everybody or real anybody's going to believe. There's no precedent for that. Now, maybe the closest ones to her and family who really love God and sought God could believe that. But Joseph, her fiancé, who probably had known her all of her life, all of his life, all of her life, he didn't believe the story. And what he decided to do was to put her away, to send her off. Because what the law required is that she be stoned to death, which was the judgment for someone who's immoral. So he didn't even believe. An angel had to come to him in the middle of the night to convince him that what she was saying was true. And so what she was facing that she knew, once she understood, when she finally said, "Yes, be it done to me according to your word." You says, "You're bondservant. I'm just here to serve you. Whatever you want to do, you do. And I believe you can do it." Because what the Lord has said to her, that scripture that Bracken read, when he was telling her, and she said, "How?" He told her again, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to be the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. For not one word is impossible to God. If he spoke the word, and he's speaking the word to you right now, what one word is impossible to God. So it's important to remember that her surrender and her stand in faith was totally and completely based on the word of the Lord spoken to her. Period. She laid hold of the word of the Lord and risked everything on that. Now, the thing that I wanted to see tonight, that over the years, you've been around long enough, you've heard me reference this, but just to remind you, this is an encouragement to us, because when we think about, again, some of the things that God's been saying to us over the last months, I would say, again, that the most important scripture that everything else is kind of coming forth from is 2 Corinthians 9:8. "For the God of limitless ability has," past tense, "abounded all grace to all of you, that you always having," in the present tense, "all sufficiency for everything may abound to everything you put your hand to." Relationally, situationally, circumstance, doesn't matter. That's kind of been the verse from which we've discovered more and more about the all-sufficient grace of an ever-present indwelling Christ. And that's a powerful word. If you never get another word from God, if you never read another scripture in the Bible, if somehow somebody takes over the country and they're all atheists, and they steal your Bible, and you can memorize that one verse, that's enough for you to stand on in every temptation and in every situation in your life. You know, remember, the Lord said one of the things he's doing in this season is making things simple. I've heard a number of other prophetic people talk about that. God is trying to bring simplicity. We're trying to go so deep, we passed him. We can't hear his voice anymore. And the good news is simple enough that everybody should be able to understand that it's good news and alter their life based on it. Well, that's the good news for those who've received the good news, that God has abounded, the God of limitless ability, so he can do it, has abounded already everything that you'll ever need in every situation as a free gift. Remember what I read to you? It's so long I have to write it down because I can't remember it. If I can find it. Our definition of grace: God's limitless ability God's limitless love, affection, ability, acceptance, and activity as a free gift in Christ for us, towards us, to us, in us, through us, every minute of every day. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace. All grace. Whatever category, all grace. To you. That's plural. Means every Christian. That always, always means always. Always having. Having means you've already got it. As a matter of fact, the word there, always having, that word having is literally translated, you hold it right now. You're holding it right now. You may not know you hold it, but you're holding right now. And grace is another word for who? Jesus. So we say it this way: the God of limitless ability has abounded all that Jesus is to all of you, that you always holding in this moment, whatever the moment may represent, all that Jesus is, for everything may abound, live an abundant life in everything you put your hand to. That'll last you the rest of your life. It works in every situation. Always having all sufficiency in everything. Okay, you with me? So I wanted to bring that up again to apply it to what I want you to see tonight. Because even though there was all these struggles that Mary was facing that she dealt with, and even though she asked the Lord how, not why, she'd have to face all this, but when she asked the question, how, he didn't answer her. Sort of generally. Now, he didn't give her any scientific details on how she was going to get pregnant. He just said, God's going to do it. God's going to overshadow your weakness. The Holy Spirit's going to release the power of God, and God's going to do it, because not one word that God speaks is impossible to Him. So it's a little section right after that, verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Now hear this. "And blessed," not blessed like some song or poem, but "blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." See, here's the thing, is that all of us want to experience. We want to experience the unrestricted, continual flowing blessing of God in our lives. That'd be a great way to live. Well, you see, that's what 2 Corinthians 9:8 says. And the thing I like about this passage, what Elizabeth says, this declaration is, what if God had given her this word and she didn't believe? Then the blessing that God offered wouldn't have come to her experience. There is this link between what God says and what you and I believe. Because when God says something's true, it's true. Faith can't make it true. It simply allows what's true to be released into your personal experience. By grace, we're saved, but it's through faith. The grace is there. It's always there. But it takes faith to appropriate the grace. And I love that passage because I've told you before, that's perfect tense. By grace, you're saved. You start that way in every moment of your Christian life, being saved from the power of sin. And in circumstances and situations, is also by grace. It always works through faith. It starts that way, it continues that way, and you'll end that way. By grace, through faith. And the passage says, blessed is Mary, not because something was spoken to her. God initiates. God gives the promises. But he didn't say, you're blessed because God spoke something to you. You are blessed because you believed that what God had spoken was true. Now here's the issue. How many of us, during this Christmas season, these last couple of weeks, have lived off and on a defeated life? Don't raise your hand. You don't need to. Struggle and the stress and the hurry, the finances, all the stuff. How many of you just struggle? Because you see, if Christian life doesn't work in the nitty-gritty stuff that make up our life, then it only has an eternal value. But he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. For if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned to the one, much more those who are receiving the abundance of grace and are receiving the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life through the one Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who's giving us right now the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, as somebody who suffered years ago from mental illness, I didn't really care about the theology of heaven. I was glad I was going. I didn't want to end up in a bad place. But life was hell every day. In my emotions and in my mind, life was hell every day. Depression and anxiety and all those things. I needed an answer for today. I needed a Jesus that made sense, that was practical, that would change my life in the daily routine and the responsibilities and the pressures that make up life. Mary's just a kid. Just a young girl. And when she asked that question, how, and God simply said, God's going to do it. That's all she needed to hear. And because she believed, now hear me, the moment that she believed, her situation didn't change any. There was still no explanation for the people. She was still going to live under the cloud of scandal the rest of her life. She was still facing the possibility that the person that she was engaged to was backing out, was never going to come back in. She was still facing the fact that her future was ruined on one level in the natural. You understand me? See, we think victory means, oh God, I hate this situation. Change the situation. What did happen to Mary, whatever fear she had about the how, whatever, her circumstance in the immediate didn't change. Now, in time, everything changed circumstantially. But in the moment, the situation didn't change. That's not victory. If everything has to line up that makes you feel good, gives you peace in the natural, you're going to live in anger and fear and control the rest of your life. Because you want to control everybody around you and get ticked off when they won't do what you want them to do so that your life can be good or you'll escape into something else. Her situation didn't change, but she did. You see, what we want in the moment when we're panicking, when we're upset, when we're angry, wherever, we want the blessing of God to come on us. Well, blessing comes when you believe. The grace is there. Those are just sounds of life, y'all. When you've been doing this as long as I do, it's just... I remember one time years ago, when the church first started, for some reason, there was some sense of somebody had gotten some revelation or insight that it was okay to breastfeed during church without working really hard at making sure people didn't know you were breastfeeding. So I finally had to go to them and say, you can't breastfeed during church anymore. And they said, her response was me, but I'm free in Christ. My response was, there are several men who've come to me who aren't as free in Christ as you are. You need to stop breastfeeding. So noise doesn't bother me anymore. You see, God had spoken the word. And there was more to the blessing than just the birth of Christ. There was just the grace to walk that out. The victory on the inside, to not be afraid, to not care what people would think about you. But the blessing didn't come. How blessed is she who believed that what God had said, God would do. So let me just use this Nativity night as an opportunity to speak a practical word to you. Whatever it is you're going to face tonight, tomorrow, too much to clean up, too much noise, whatever, having to trust God financially, because you've already moved outside of God's will and how much money you spent. So having gone to confession, if His grace, if you have been blessed with all grace, so that right now, that's the word of the Lord, you have His all-sufficiency for everything, then why don't you just believe? Don't beg. Don't plead. Don't wish it were better. Oh, God, change me. The blessing brings the change. But the blessing comes from faith. Why don't you just dare to step out and actually act like it is so, even when it doesn't feel so, or even when it isn't so, or isn't so in your feelings, so that it will be so in your experience, because you know it is so. He says it's so. Dare to believe. Dare to live in that reality. Make faith the air you breathe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Christian life is lived by faith, not by feelings, not by situations. You with me? I love that scripture. Blessed is she who believed. You find yourself in a circumstance and you need victory, He's already in you, giving you the victory. He just wants you to accept it. Just take hold of it. Receive it. And you do that by faith. And what will happen is your situation may not change at all, but you'll change. And it'll seem like the whole situation changed because you're walking in victory. You see, that's His great gift to us every day. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.